Yeah, Bob, this is Chuck.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing tonight?
Not so bad.
You're looking forward to Thanksgiving.
Oh, you bet.
You get tomorrow off?
Nope.
Oh, you kidding.
Working days.
Oh, son of a gun. Well, it's funny, but I'm going to get the first Thanksgiving off I've had in 4 years. So I'm kind of excited about that. Well, I was just getting ready to leave here, and I thought I'd give you a buzz. Sorry that I was on the phone today for a couple of hours to the supervisor that worked at the FAA Flight Control Center that night.
Uh-huh.
There were 14th, and I also thought that, I forget the guy's capacity, but he works in an area of support to the radar man.
Yeah.
And I talked to them, and for the first time since this whole thing began, I'm convinced that something did now go down in that general area, did impact, did cause a crater and some sort of a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I also talked to the pilot, Rich Morgan, again tonight.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that, number one, everybody is looking in the wrong area.
Uh-huh.
I think they blew $1,000 worth of helicopter rides to nothing. We were looking in an area just east of Chehalis, but was really, I think, just about northwest, or north, or west, or whatever it is, of the area where we saw this thing. And we were just a little bit too far, what would it have been? Too far
south.
Too far south, yeah.
Like 13 miles south.
Well, whatever it would be. I haven't really had a chance to sit down with a map yet. So anyway, we were just a little bit off the track there. And I'll tell you, I don't know how the hell that happened, because we got our bearings from McCord that day, who vectored us in, and they told us that was the area, and all the other news people and shoppers that day seemed to be searching in the same area, so I just wonder if perhaps somebody vectored us off in the wrong area on purpose.
I mentioned this to one of the fellows the day after, and they just started the search, and they changed the location from the McKinnon area south. And I said, it sounds very much to me like somebody's doing a little bit of job in here.
Well, it's just, you know, there's still just a lot of things that don't gel. Now, maybe somebody made a mistake or whatever. We were in the general area of McKinnon and above. Area, that type of thing, but I don't think we were going to have seen it go down. Anyway, one of the interesting sidelights that occurred today was that on the Friday, I have an appointment there with one of the supervisors at the Flight Control Center in Albert, and I'm going to be listening to tape of the radio transmissions that night.
Uh-huh.
And so that may be a second note on.
Well, you've got good connections out there.
Well, it took me an hour and a half, two on the phone to get through all the red tape to find out that, you know, I was bored.
Yeah. Did you get all this conversation on tape tonight?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? And then I'm going to see if I can work out a deal with commanding officer the next time they run a training flight. If they can, as a courtesy to the world news media, run us by, see if we can spot that area, see if he can take me back to where he saw this thing.
Yeah, well, if he still insists that he saw something on the ground?
Oh, yeah. And the three people who were in his copper, his co-pilot and navigator and the other guy, they all saw this thing. And I asked him, now he says, now he changed his story a little bit. We had him last time saying definitely it was a crater. Now he says, well, to all rights, it looked to him like a crater, although it could have been a flash fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, what do you mean? He says, well, you know, I see from that height and in the dark, I suppose it, there's a chance that it could have been that. But he says, that's not what it looked like to me. He says, that night when we were going out there to look for this thing, we saw three flash fires before we saw a major flooding, and they looked different than the critter-like object that we described.
Yeah. Well, how about the FAA? Did they say anything about tracking anything going down?
They said nothing was tracked, no. Nothing was tracked on radar.
Mm-hmm.
I will double-check that Friday when I go out there. But also what was interesting was that two private pilots were the ones that had seen this thing go down. They've seen a large, white, flashing object, or whatever, not flashy, but, you know, a large, bright object. Let's see, it appeared to have stored at low level elevation or appeared to have impacted with the ground. And it was at this point that they were, you know, talking about the force of the FAA. So the FAA told McCord and asked him to send a chopper out. Well, McCord, I guess, evidently got in touch with Fort Lewis, and that's where Rich Morgan came into play. And so that's how all of that happened. But the first fixed wing civilian pilot indicated to the guys at the FAA that he knew a flash fire when he saw one. He said he worked for the Forest Service, and that what he saw was definitely not a flash fire. Earl, I forget his last name, but Earl somebody, I have it in my notes, who was supervising that night. I asked him, you know, what he thought about it all. He's been there 20 years. And he says, well, they all saw the stars from the eyewitness accounts that were flying around that night, that whatever it was not a flash fire. He did say that they got some ETR or ETI signals that night, and what that is that's an emergency locator transmitter.
Right.
Because the plane goes down, and at first they appeared that it might have been a plane that went down. Well, of course, no planes that they know of have been reported down, and they were sporadic signals. They couldn't really pinpoint them or anything. So that was the original purpose for the helicopter.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, that's where it all stands now.
That's very interesting. That one didn't make any state to you regarding just an updated static, did he?
Well, he did say he tried to talk with Lewis County. He said that they do have an all-purpose frequency band because they are an emergency action helicopter. In other words, they work out of Fort Lewis on if there's a national disaster or somebody's lost or any kind of emergency help is needed, that's the type of flights they fly.
Yeah.
And he did say that they have a all-multi-purpose band that they can call anybody with. And he called the Lewis County Sheriff's Office and tried to get him to send somebody out there, but he did say there was a lot of static and stuff on the radio that night.
Uh-huh. That's important, too.
Now, what does that to signify?
Well, of course, when UFOs are in the area, they have a tendency to create terrific radio interference in the form of either partial disruption or complete disruption. And it's usually noticeable at first in the form of heavy static. The thing that impressed me was when that thing first came on the air the next morning and you described this thing on the ground, it looking like a big oval, brilliant in the center, and like fire around the edges. And he's seen this thing through a cloud layer 3,000 feet up.
I am sure now, and I wasn't sure before, but I am sure now that something probably, something good hit the ground out there. I just wish to God that as this thing goes on, we can at least pinpoint where it was, if indeed it did hit. There's just so much damn country out there, you know. I'm not sure whether he'd be able to find it again. He did say that he could factor himself into the general area that he was searching that night, but he didn't know if he'd be able to find it again because it was dark. He couldn't identify the type of terrain he was over, you know, except that it was hilly. So I'm hoping that my next bet is that I'll be able to talk to his commanding officer and to let him go with him the next time you're at a training flight in that area, and then let us sit on over there during this thing to look for it.
Well, I'm very inclined to think that if you do find the spot where it came down, instead of finding a crater, you're just going to find a big impression in the ground, maybe with some burned or scorched areas around it.
Oh, that would be something. Anyway.
Because we get back to some of the evidence that would need to show up with any kind of a meteor or a bolide impact, such as the sonic boom when it's coming in and the seismic activity and so forth. And none of this stuff has showed up, though.
Now, you're sure that no seismic activity has showed up?
No, I checked with the University of Washington. They said absolutely nothing. And that area up there is saturated with seismic.
Well, That's very interesting.
I asked the man specifically if anything had hit of any size could be a crater which has been described or even likely to be that crater if it would register, and if they absolutely reflecting it would register.
Well, we died. What have you been able to determine? Anything new or anything startling?
No, just what I passed on the last time we talked, that there's definitely four different objects seen in four different places at four different times now.
Bob, do you suppose I could get you to send me a summary of your activity on this trip?
Oh, I'm writing up a report right now.
You are? Yeah, are you going to include any kind of a map or anything with it?
It would be a marked map.
Okay.
Very definite.
Well, can I get you, when you get done, I have to send you a copy of it?
Absolutely.
And everything that you can have in it, I suppose, that will be a great help to me as I continue on with this thing.
Will do.
Do you know any people down in the Salinas area, the McKinney area, down in that area that, if we got this thing decently pinpointed, and perhaps couldn't get in with a chopper, that could help us look down there?
No.
Okay.
No. Our closest contact is down in Longview.
Okay. Okay. I just thought I'd check that out. When do you think you'll have your, report done on it?
I'm going to try to have it out by Monday.
I see. Is this coming out of the regular newsletter?
No, it'll be separate.
Okay.
Report on this particular
incident. Uh-huh. Who gets copies of this, by the way?
Well, I thought I'd mail them out to all the news media.
Uh-huh.
But I'll get yours out first if you want to.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay.
Where are you working Monday?
When am I working?
What hours, do you
know? Oh, I work on the air from 5 until 11. Yeah, and then I usually have some free hours during the day that I just use to use up my own time.
Uh-huh.
So,
if I get this thing finished, I'll deliver it in person.
Oh, well, that'll be fine. Gary West, I don't know if you're familiar with Gary, but he works here in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
West works here in the morning. And, just pop in and drop it in, that'll be more than fine.
Indeed.
Okay, Bob, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah, well, I sure appreciate you letting me know what's going on.
You betcha.
And have a nice day tomorrow.
Yeah, if I get that, when I get to that tape, I'll see if I can tape it with my machine and take it from there.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.